Good morning. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us this morning. Earlier this month, the residents of Champaign had a chance to hear from those who are vying to become the city's next police chief. They include Urbana Assistant Chief of Police Anthony Cobb, Gregory Anderson, he is the chief of police in the Chicago suburb of Oak Forest, St. Louis, Missouri Police Lieutenant Colonel Antoinette Fila, and East Lansing, Michigan Police Captain Kim Johnson. During a forum held at the City Building, the finalists took questions submitted by the public on a range of issues, including the need for a citizens' review board for the police, and also allegations about the use of excessive force by officers. This morning, we'll bring you a portion of that discussion, which was moderated by Dr. Sandra Kay. She directs the University of Illinois' Upward Bound College Prep Academy.
Good evening. My name is Anthony Cobb, and I got 3 minutes to try to introduce myself to you. And the best way I can do that is to say, who is Anthony Cobb? I am the grandson of Nettie and Dexter Claiborne, who moved to Champaign, city of Champaign in the 1930s. I am the son of Dolores and Ezel Derricks. I am the second oldest of five boys who was raised in a single-parent home when my father divorced my mom and abandoned my family when I was 6 years old. I am a product of public aid. I'm a product of Champaign Public Schools, attended Booker T. Washington School, Jefferson Middle School, Centennial High School. I am currently the Assistant Chief of Police in the city of Urbana. I was the Urbana Police Department's first community policing officer. I helped to develop, implement a community policing program that shaped the strategies and philosophies of the community policing approach that is currently being used by the City of Urbana Police Department. I am a former detective, school resource officer, juvenile officer, and I still continue to speak with young people throughout our community today. I was a shift sergeant, a division commander. I've worked in all divisions at the Urbana Police Department. I am a member of the Church of the Living God, where Bishop Lloyd Gwynn is my pastor. I am a proud father of Troy and Miles Cobb, who are students at Urbana High School and Middle School. I have mentored young men in this community for over 20 years, and I am currently working with a young man who is a junior at Central High School. Started working with this young man when he was in the third grade at Thomas Paine Elementary School in Urbana. I've coached high school football at Urbana High School. I've coached baseball through first string for multiple seasons. I have umpired little league games and refereed upward basketball games for multiple seasons. I am Anthony Cobb. I am from this community. I am a part of this community, and I care about this community. Thank you.
What in your background prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
As I stated in my introduction, who I am and where I'm from, that all started to prepare me for this position. My 19 years with the Urbana Police Department has been very instrumental in helping me prepare for the challenges that our community now faces at Champaign Police Department. I have a wonderful background as far as doing work within the union at the Urbana Police Department, was elected by the members and rank and file there and served in union capacity. I've been in leadership at the Urbana Police Department for a little more than 13 years now, as far as being a shift sergeant, working my way up to my current positions as Assistant Chief of Police. I have extensive backgrounds in dealing with internal investigation, dealing with contract negotiations, dealing with internal discipline and strife. I'm a product of this community, as I already stated, and because I'm a product of the community, I have ties with the community, vested relationships already established that are going to be beneficial and very instrumental as we move forward in dealing with issues facing the Champaign Police Department.
Thank you, Candidate Cobb. What are your thoughts about a citizen review board?
If you guys go back and look at the videotapes when Urbana went and looked into building a citizen police review board, you will find I was very involved in that process. You'll also find when I was very involved in that process, I was the union president. I said it then and I'll say it again. A citizen police review board could be a good thing if done correctly. In order to do it correctly, it's going to take both sides, the citizens and the police, to sit down and truly tackle what are the issues we're trying to address. The best way, in my opinion, to do that is, one, we got to get emotion out of it. We got to get cooler heads at the table and look at and see what are the issues. Once the heads get there, I would encourage you to do a strength assessment of the department. What is it that they do well? Believe it or not, there are some things that Champaign Police Department does well. There are some things every department does well. Find those things. What do we want to maintain about it? What can we improve upon? What are things that our community is upset about and would like to see change? And then what is the best process to go about it? Yes, look at things that happen on a national level and look at things that happen in other communities and see what can we do to guard against it. But don't put that on the backs of our officers if that's not a problem within your community. Unfortunately, in Urbana, in my opinion, I don't think we got there right. And I think we harped and we did a lot of different things when it came to our Citizen Police Review Board, and we ended up butting heads a little bit. We got a good Citizen Police Review Board, but it's an oversight board. There's a lot more I would love to see that board be able to do to really help strengthen conversation and dialogue between the police and the community. If you take the time and craft it and do it right, it could be a great thing. But if you don't, it could be a waste of time.
Thank you, Candidate Cobb. How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
Residency requirements, I know that's an issue within the community. I do think it's important for officers to be a part of the community and to take stock in the community. Are there other ways that can be done outside of residency? Yes. Recognize police officers are human too, and they're just like all the other citizens, and they have their rights just like we do. We have a right as citizens to choose where we want to live at and how we live and how we want to recreate when we're within the law. I would ask that people be receptive to the officers' rights to some degree. But at the same token, there's things that I think as a department head, as a chief of police, that can be done to encourage officers, if you truly want to move forward in this department, if you truly want to move up in this department, there are things you may want to consider as far as investing in this community. I think there's policy and things of that nature that can be done to encourage those who want to advance and do different things, taking stock in the community in some fashion. Do you necessarily have to live here in order to do that? I don't necessarily think so. I can think of several people who are very active and very vital to this community who don't live in this community. But this is home for them, and they'll do anything they can for it and live and pretty much love and pretty much will die for this community. And officers are no different.
There have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger and fear to repair the harm done to police-community relations?
Well, the first thing I think is going to be incumbent upon a new chief is to get buy-in immediately from within a department, from outside a department. It has to be a multi-pronged approach. I think it's going to be apparent for the new chief to be accessible and be visible and to be out in the community and truly to be the department head and the leader, not only in name but also in face for the organization. It's going to be imperative for the command staff to take on the ownership and the leadership and also be accessible and be visible. It's going to take a little bit to repair and deal with some of the issues within the department and to unite the department. You guys read the articles and know there are a lot of issues. There's a lot of things are going on within the department that's going to have to be dealt with inside the department. And as we're addressing them and dealing with those things, I'll ask the community to be supportive of the agency, be encouraging to the agency, because recognize as all these things occurred, for all the negative things we read in the press, the day-to-day operation of the agency has never stopped. I have not heard of any 911 call that didn't get answered. I have not heard of a citizen who had a problem or issue, and when they called the police weren't there. So the men and women of the Champaign Police Department are doing their job, and they've been doing it daily, and they're going to continue to do their job. But at the same token, morale is very low, and there's some issues going to have to be dealt with to lift morale, to lift officers, to retool and retrain so that we can respond appropriately and deal with the issue. But we're going to have to find ways to get officers reengaged and back connected with the community, interacting with the community, partnering with the community so that we can collaborate and work together to fix the issues within our community.
What should be the standard criteria for the use of force, for the use of force policy, and what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
I think when you look at policy, a lot of times you'll find policy to be appropriate. in a lot of different ways. I think it boils down to interpretation of policy is going to be the issue that we're going to have to deal with in accountability. I think as a police department, as a chief of police, I'm going to have to be in tune to what is the direction I'm getting from the council for. I need to back up. What does the law say we can do? You got a lot of incidents here recently where the law says one thing and the community is not happy with what the law says and want to see things differently. Understand that. But when you understand what the law says, understand what your community morality point is, understand what to make up your community, all that stuff has to merge into how you make good policy and how you deal with things, how you hold people accountable. I can't really get into the incident as far as what happened with the pepper spray, and I'm sure people want to talk about, and a reason why I can't really get into that as a candidate for the police chief, recognize I could be a decision maker on that, and it's not prudent for me to speak about that or do anything like that or speak about it, considering I can be an ultimate decision maker. But I will say it's a learning opportunity. It's a learning opportunity from all sides, learning opportunity for officers to look at. One thing, we know that the community was outraged by what they saw there. That has been noted in the press. From looking at it, we also know it's very concerning to our community, and that's a good, huge training point when you look at it and talk about it. But also we need to look at the interaction from both sides, the officer as well as the citizen. Is that the way, as an African-American community, we would want our citizens to interact with the police? Is there things that our young people can learn from that contact? And I hope we use it as a teaching opportunity to look at it from multiple different ways and deal with it. But when you look at the use of force policy as a whole, it's going to require some work. It's going to require some dialogue. It's going to require a lot of conversation between the new chief and the community to figure out what is going to be the policy and then how we're going to hold people accountable to it. But the big part is holding people accountable to what we decide is the rule, the right way.
Thank you. At this time, we invite you to provide us with closing comments for 2 minutes.
Okay. I'll try to keep this short. I'd like to thank the City of Champaign for this opportunity to come and address you and speak with you. I think those of you that know me and those of you who haven't had the opportunity to meet me, I look forward to being able to work, be open, to be engaging with you. Recognize as we embark, and if I'm selected to be the chief of police, we get some challenging times ahead of us, and it's going to require a lot of people to work together, to collaborate, to put a lot of sweat equity into this situation to resolve issues. With that said, I'm committed to do my part, but I'm going to need all citizens to be committed to do their part. There's a lot of tough dialogues we need to have about what we want our police department to look like and what we want our community to look like. And it's going to take each and every one of you to be part of that solution. I think the men and women of the Champaign Police Department are up for the challenge and will love to have the opportunity to work with you. There's going to be a few things we're going to have to work through ahead of time, but I think that can happen. They're highly paid professionals, and they will be expected to be professionals. And as a police chief, it would be my job to hold them accountable and make sure they do their part. I'm willing to take on that challenge and do that, but I'm going to ask the community to do their part and support us and help us. And from there, we can make a better community. Thank you.
May we please welcome our second candidate, Candidate Gregory J. Anderson. And you may begin, Candidate Anderson, with your opening statement.
Thank you, Dr. Cato. Hello, everybody. My name is Gregory Anderson. I'd like to start out by saying I'm extremely humbled and honored to be considered as a police chief candidate for the City of Champaign. Both me and my family are extremely excited about the potential of being part of the Champaign community and also making Champaign our home. I'm sure I'm going to get an opportunity to talk to you about my law enforcement background for those of you that aren't familiar with it. So I just wanted to take a few minutes to kind of talk to you as to how I came to the decision to come to Champaign. When this the position opening occurred and it was posted, it caused me to do a double take. I took a long, hard look at it. The reason for that is the Champaign Police Department has an outstanding reputation with other law enforcement agencies throughout the state of Illinois. That was really my first criteria that I had to take a look at. Then I had to take a look at the community to see if this is a place that me and my family wanted to come live. I started to do a lot of research. Of course, I looked at everything online that I possibly could. I started following information in the newspapers, the News Gazette online. I watched all the television stories from the local television stations and really began to take a good hard look at it and really consider it. What sold me on coming to Champaign and applying for this position In September, I came down to the Champaign Community and Police Partnership meeting that they had to talk about the attributes of the police for a police chief. I was extremely excited and to hear the comments that the people made about the attributes that they wanted to have for a police chief: a good communicator, somebody with a strong budget background, somebody that was going to hold people accountable, strong leadership attributes. That's really what made me decide that the excitement that the community showed and the involvement that they have done was outstanding. And I would also like to add that the City of Champaign needs to be thanked for their opportunity. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'll begin with the questions. And again, you have 2 minutes to respond to each question. What in your background, candidate Anderson, prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
Well, I have been a police chief for over 4 years now. Mm-hmm. I have an experience of being an outside police chief before. I'm currently the chief of police in Oak Forest. I have a lot of experience on what it takes to come into a new police department and make programs successful, and how to be able to take a look at specific programs, what value that they have in the organization, and take a look at those. Do they fall within certain budget restraints and those types of things? I also have a very strong community policing and problem-oriented policing background. I have a steeped history on working with the community, communicating with the community, and being inclusive with the community in providing police services.
What are your thoughts about a citizen review board?
Building public trust and maintaining public trust is the cornerstone of successful policing and professional law enforcement services. The police department and the police chief definitely have to be concise, they have to be clear, they have to be transparent, and we have to be willing as police officers and the law enforcement to admit that sometimes police misconduct does occur. I believe that the Citizen Review Board is a decision to be made by the City Council and the City Fathers, and if the City Council decided that we were going to have a Citizen Review Board, I would do everything within my power to make it as successful as I possibly can. I have a very strong history involving professional standards and internal affairs. I actually teach on this subject to police chiefs and deputy chiefs of police within the state of Illinois, and we talk about a lot of these issues as to how can we make sure that the community trust is being built. Mm-hmm. However, there are a couple of issues that needs to be said about citizen review boards. They don't always necessarily work, and I talk about recently I read an article about a citizen review board complaint in Urbana that did not appear to be resolved to the people's liking. I also point out that when Phil Klein was the superintendent of Chicago, he actually moved to fire 29 police officers from his force during his tenure, and the Citizen Police Board only authorized terminating 7 of those officers. So if we're going to have citizen review, we have to make it effective, we have to make it work the right way. But I would hope that there's other ways that we can do it by the police department being much more open with the public, being transparent and explaining the police processes and exactly why we do things in a certain way.
Thank you. How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
This is a topic that's brought up in a lot of locations, and the first issue that I have with having an absolute residency requirement is you tend to limit your possible candidate pool. The question that I always like to ask is, are you looking to get the best police officers for the city of Champaign, or are you looking to get the best police officers that are willing to live in Champaign? Those can be two different things. I believe that you need to take a look at residency. Champaign is a fine city. It's a place that I would be proud to call home. But there are some people that have children in schools, maybe in Urbana, maybe in Rantoul or one of those other cities. And it may not be conducive for them to move, at least initially. And my focus as police chief working with the Fire and Police Commission is for us to be able to get the best police officers for the city of Champaign, and I would like to do that without any precursors to it.
Thank you. There have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger, fear, and to repair the harm done to police community relations?
That's a one-word answer for me, and that's communication. You have to communicate with the community. We as police officers, police chiefs, can't be afraid to tell the truth. We have to be willing to stand up for integrity and have a strong police culture that values accountability. However, there are ways that we can include the community to explain to them what the police processes are involved. We could, for example, in our use of force training, we could certainly involve community leaders, community residents, some in the media, and actually have them come to some of our defensive tactics trainings. Let them understand exactly what trainings we're going to go through, when it's appropriate for us to be able to use force, and when it's not appropriate for us to use force. But on the other side, when we do use force inappropriately, we have to be willing to stand up and say we made a mistake. We have to hold our people accountable, and I would discipline the officers if they are using force when it's inappropriate.
What should be the standard criteria for the use of force policy, and what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
The general and the quick summary for me to explain this is what a reasonable police officer would do at that time. We have the right to employ force when we feel it's necessary, and we have the right to employ force to overcome any force that's being used against us. But the officer has to no two situations are exactly the same. So what we tend to base our decision on is what's reasonable for that police officer based on those on the criteria at time. We are not allowed to go back in hindsight, per se, and we can only look at what the officer had, what information he had at that time. The training that should go into that should be regular and extensive. We should be involved with defensive tactics training. We should have ongoing training. We should be reviewing with the police officers on a regular basis at roll call. Here's defensive tactics situations that we're going to have. How would we handle this? We should be going over the use of force policy. We should make it very clear. If the use of force policy is not clear for every police officer in the police department, that's a failure of management to do that and leadership to do that. If every police officer doesn't understand where the use of force policy comes in, that's the fault of the police chief and the police leadership. And we have to make sure that they understand what's allowable and what's not.
Thank you, Candidate Anderson. At this time, we would like to invite you to provide us with 2 minutes closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to say I'd like to thank the city of Champaign and the residents of Champaign. I would like to say that this process that you guys have put us through has been very thorough, has been very clear to us as to what the ground rules have been, but it's also been very community involved. I think that that goes a long way towards talking about the professionalism that you have in the city government. They want to get this right. I realize that this is a big opportunity for the community. The police chief is one of the most visible city figures that there is out there. Everybody has a stake in proper law enforcement services, and the city really deserves to be credited for doing a very good job in doing that. And if I am selected to be the police chief, I do not hesitate to tell you that I will bring a lot of passion, a lot of hard work, and a lot of hours to do the very best that I can to serve the residents of Champaign. Thank you.
And that's Gregory Anderson. He is the chief of police of the Chicago suburb of Oak Forest. He is one of four finalists for the job of police chief for the city of Champaign. And this morning you're listening to a pre-recorded forum. This took place on December 8th that featured the four finalists for Champaign's chief of police. We'll have more of that in just a moment. A reminder that we'll be back on our more regular schedule here in the second hour of Focus with a program from the Focus Archives. And this is the show that we first broadcast in August, a conversation conversation with Frederick Lynch. He's professor of government at Claremont McKenna College, and it's all about the AARP, that organization once known as the American Association of Retired Persons. It's also about the potential political power of the baby boom generation. And in this program and in a book that he wrote, he makes the argument that AARP is well positioned to lead the baby boomers to fight for their own interests. So that's what you'll hear in our number two. Anytime, you can check up on what we'll do on WILL Radio, AM, FM, also on TV, by going to our website. That is WILL.illinois.edu. And this morning, in this first hour, what would be the first hour focus, we're presenting a pre-recorded forum that took place on December 8th with the finalists for the position of chief of police for the city of Champaign. The city says one of these four candidates that you're listening to will likely be offered the job after the start of the new year and will begin work in February or March. We'll resume the program. The moderator on that time, on that evening, December 8th, was Sandra Cato. Dr. Cato directs the University of Illinois' Upward Bound College Prep Academy.
At this time, we would like to welcome candidate Antoinette Filla.
Good evening. First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to participate in this process. It's been very interesting so far. I know you want to know a little bit about me. My resume and bio apparently were in your newspaper. Everybody in St. Louis knows about it already. Can't have any secrets. But I've been around law enforcement for 38 years. Plus, I've been in every division of the St. Louis Police Department where I've spent my whole career. I've been in very diverse communities, very depressed areas, very affluent areas. There isn't a department or a unit in the police department that I haven't been in charge of or in command of. I've been the district commander in several districts. I have been the commander of internal affairs. I've been the director of the academy. I've been the secretary to the Board of Police Commissioners, and if you don't know about St. Louis and Kansas City are unique that we're run by the state. We're the only two cities in the country that are run by the state. Everybody else is run by their city. So the governor appoints four citizens to sit on our Board of Police Commissioners, and they come up with policy, develop the policy for the police department, but they don't run the police department. So it's very unique in that sense, and I was a liaison between the police, the Board of Police Commissioners and the chief at the time. So I had that position for 2 years, and you really get to know the operations of police department politics, state politics, city politics. So I've had a very well-rounded career. I'm very proud of what I've done in St. Louis, and I always tell everybody, don't be in one place too long. You get stagnant, you get bored, you need to develop your career. And the only way you can do that is to move around the department in various divisions in that. So I'm happy to be here. I look forward to the presentation tonight, the questioning in that. So hopefully you'll like what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. What in your background, Candidate Filla, prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
Well, I think as I just said, my various assignments throughout the 38 years I've been in law enforcement, I've been in units where we've developed budgets, where we've developed grants, where we have taken control of problems and issues that we need to work with the community in. I've been in, like I've said, in North St. Louis, which is a very depressed area, where the citizens in that area felt that the police department had neglected them and felt that the city had neglected them. They didn't have any services from the city, and they felt that the police department didn't care about them. It was a very big challenge up there because they didn't trust the police. The policemen didn't like it. It was considered, and excuse my language, but it was considered the dumping ground of the police department. If we had issues with officers and they needed to be disciplined in that, they would push him into the 8th District. So the citizens were very upset about that type of a reputation. So it took, I was there for 6 or 7 years, and it took quite a few years to change the reputation, to build that trust and respect in the community so that the community trusted us to make sure that the officers did their job. By the time that I left that district, I had officers that were asking to go to that district, and it wasn't considered a dumping ground anymore. And I think it was because everybody treated everybody with respect. There was a lot of communication. We built friendships. We built partnerships. We built relationships. We worked with city agencies to get things done. We worked with the federal government, specifically the U.S. Attorney's Office, on a weed and seed program, a ceasefire program, and it all took cooperation between not only the citizens but the police officers and all the city agencies and federal agencies.
Thank you. What are your thoughts about a citizens review board?
That topic's come up a lot lately, and again, most cities have issues with internal affairs and complaints and that on police officers. I personally do not think a citizens review board is anything bad. The police department shouldn't have anything to hide, so if they don't have anything to hide, they shouldn't criticize a citizens review board. There's many times that the citizens don't understand how we do things. When I was in internal affairs for a couple of years, we looked into getting a citizens review board. We researched it a little bit and found that the cities that did have citizen review boards, that it didn't change the outcome very much. The number of complaints did not increase. The severity of discipline did not increase with the citizens review board. What it did do is make the police department accountable to the city to explain to them why they do things in a certain way and how they do their investigations. And once the citizens review board looked at the complaints and reviewed the reports in that, they understood more why we do things, how we do investigations, how we came up with the results, how we came up with the discipline. So I don't think that citizens review board is a bad thing. I know officers think that as soon as a citizens review board comes in that everybody's going to get fired, and that's not the case. The case is to keep the communication open between the community and the police department so that everything is transparent and they understand why we're doing it and what we're doing, and they have the option to send it back for more in-depth investigation or additional information. So I do not disapprove of a citizens review board.
Thank you. How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
I've lived in my city my whole life. I didn't have to, but I did because I love the city. There's two thoughts on it. I don't have a problem with city residency. We had that issue in St. Louis, and it kind of divided the police department. But how I see it is some officers don't want to live in the city, and they use the excuse that it's the public school system, when, in fact, they don't take any effort to try to change it at all. However, they have the option. They don't have to send their children to public school. They can send them to a private school, although it would cost them more, but that would be their choice. And then they should, and I've always said this to the police department too, we should be working towards helping the Board of Education improve their accreditation. And at the same point, the public school system should also work with us to try to figure out how they can improve it, and maybe we can help them with it somehow. Another reason officers don't like to live in the city, because they fear that they're going to arrest somebody, and then maybe a couple days later, a month later, they'll be out shopping with their family or eating in a restaurant and run into somebody that they arrested. And they think that that's a terrible thing. Well, that's the community. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're in the city, the county, some muni, you're going to run into people. It's a small world. And just because you arrested somebody doesn't mean that they're going to come up to you and interfere with what you're doing right then. So I don't have a problem with the residency, but those are the two things that I've seen where officers didn't want to live in the city because of those reasons, and I don't think they're viable reasons.
Thank you, Candidate Villa. There have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger and fear and to repair the harm done to police-community relations?
Again, I would go out into the community, to the community meetings, and educate the community on the process of using pepper spray, tasers, any use of force, and the fact that we tell all our officers to use the least amount and progress from there. Officers also need to be educated, because I think when we went to pepper spray and tasers, that the officers are maybe too quick to use those rather than try to de-escalate the situation by a conversation and communicating with the individual. So it goes back to communication between the police department and the citizens. And I think everybody needs to understand the process of using the least amount of force, and then continuing upwards from then if there is no reaction by the suspect.
Thank you. What should be the standard criteria for the use of force policy, and what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
I think it's an ongoing training. You can't just give officers training once. They need to do training every year periodically on the use of force, because we do use it quite often, and they have to be educated on the progressive use of it from the least amount to the most serious. A lot of times they get tunnel vision and they forget about the rules and regulations, so you have to remind them, just like anybody else, you have to remind them of rules and regulations. So to get the officers educated, trained properly, and again, make sure the citizens know what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Thank you. At this time, candidate, we would like to offer you the opportunity, or to invite you to provide us with 2 minutes of closing remarks.
Wow, 2 minutes.
Oh, yes.
Well, again, I thank you for this opportunity. It's been an enlightening experience. Like I've said, I've spent 38 years in law enforcement. It's all been in St. Louis. And to come here, it's a great city. Champaign is a very vibrant, energetic city. You have a lot of college students, which keeps everybody busy and keeps you energized in that. I'm to the point where I've done everything I can in St. Louis. I've been in every unit. I'm kind of stagnant now. I'm looking for a new challenge, and I think this is a lovely city. I'd love to be here, and it's halfway between St. Louis and Chicago. My son lives in Chicago, so it would be very convenient. But no, somebody had told me about the community, and I had been here numerous times. My sister did sabbaticals here, so I came down and visited her while she was here. I have friends in Peoria, so I've been here quite a few times. And when I was told about the job opening, I thought, what a great opportunity. What a great place to live and start a new life. So I look forward to it. If you choose me, I do my best for you and work with all of you very closely. Thank you.
At this time, we would like to welcome candidate Kim Johnson. And you may begin with your opening remarks.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, and excited to be here to participate in the Chief's process. Everyone has my resume, of course. It's been on the website and things like that, so everyone knows where I'm coming from and what my history is and things like that. Just want to mention a couple things dealing with some of my strengths that I would bring to the city of Champaign. And the main thing is my community policing background. I started community policing in the city of East Lansing back in the early 90s. We ran that program for a good 10 years. It was my responsibility to make sure that the whole department was organized and set up in a situation where all the police officers were able to be community policing in our city. And that has been one of my strengths ever since the early 90s. And it's actually a way for us to police East Lansing. It's done a wonderful job for us over the years. Also, my staff development initiatives, I've spent many years developing our own staff internally. I felt that it's very important for us, although our supervisors get promoted for their skill sets that they bring to the organization, It's also important to develop them to be better leaders as they move up the ranks. So I spent a lot of my time currently and over the last 10 years developing our staff from the sergeant, lieutenant rank with different programs and initiatives to make sure that they have the leadership skill sets that's important for them to be a better manager and better staff supervisor in our organization. And finally, of course, my interpersonal communication skills, I think are one of the strengths that I would bring to the city. Although these kind of forms, you know, may not be the best, and my public speaking may not be the best, but interest and desire to work with individuals on a personal basis, dealing with them individually and listen to their concerns, either staff or community or my bosses and things like that, I feel I have a very strong ethic when it comes to my communication skills when it deals with individuals and addressing their concerns and what's important to them.
Thank you, Candidate Johnson. What in your background, candidate, prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
It goes all the way back from growing up in Detroit, Michigan, many, many years ago. Just my upbringing, dealing with how my folks raised me, treating people with dignity and respect. I've always was raised that way, and I continue to do that when I'm at my place of work. And, of course, my education and experience over the last 30 years at East Lansing Police Department would make me a strong candidate just because of the different divisions I've worked in, my different rank system, and the opportunity to work on different projects that would be extremely beneficial for this city.
What are your thoughts about a citizens review board?
We don't have them in East Lansing. I've been working as a cop there for 30 years. Our community supports the police. We've been very transparent how we do policing in East Lansing. It's a college town, of course. So I'm not in favor of the citizen review board. But from that standpoint, we have to make sure that we just ask for patience and say, give us time or give me time to work with the police department and see where we're at. We may be doing great investigations. We may be covering everything we need to cover, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Our job is to market ourselves a little bit better, get the information out, to say what we're doing, what we're not doing properly. If that still doesn't work, and you give me some time to try and make our investigation a little more transparent, you're not real happy with it. The bosses said we're going to have a citizen review board. We all got bosses, and I have no problem going on that route either. But the education piece, I would hopefully that the citizen review board, we as police officers and the people who are doing our investigations currently in the police department, will help educate the citizen review board. They spend time with us, and we have some ground rules of how they investigate also. And then we have added, and they join the investigation part of the when it comes to police conduct or misconduct, and it's not I don't think it's the end of the world or anything like that. It's a growing thing, and I just really quick, we have video cameras in our cars, and years ago, police officers didn't want to be in a police car without they didn't want video cameras in their cars. Now they don't want to be in a car without one, just because it's so important. So if we're forced to have a citizen review board, We'll make sure we do it and we move forward. And I think it, as long as we're doing everything the right way, treating people with dignity and respect, are okay.
Thank you, candidate.
Thank you.
How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
I'm not in favor of a residency requirement of our officers. It's difficult to my responsibility as a police chief is make sure that we have the best people we hire just to police and service our community. Mm-hmm. And we may have those individuals who come from surrounding communities, and it would be a shame for us to not allow them to still live in their community where they maybe have grown up, where they're comfortable with, but they couldn't work here because they have to live in the city. I'm not in favor of that. I think it's also critical for us to look within our community who may already be here and start developing ways to get people to join our police force who may already live in the city. And that becomes my responsibility, making sure we have a great hiring and recruiting team that's out there looking in the community and getting people who know the community, who wants to police the community, who wants to give back to the community. But I think it's our responsibility to try and identify those individuals and, as I call them, hook them in and show how good local law enforcement is and what they can do to provide service to the community.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Candidate Johnson, there have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger and fear and to repair the harm done to police community relations?
It's a big challenge. Hopefully, it's a group effort. I will bring my energy and resources to give back with the community, address their concerns, making sure I have staff with me at all times where people can see more faces of the police department besides just myself. Open up dialogue. And get back into the community where we're actually doing more problem solving and become a little more transparent. I don't like this one of those cliche words, of course, that's out there right now, but we just have to be more open to our community and show what we do and so people have a better understanding of what we do day in, day out. I think the repairing of those relationships, we have to spend some time building trust with one another, mm-hmm. and they get to know me a little bit, and they get to know the organization a little bit. We get to know the community a little bit more. And the more we're around and trying to make a difference, hopefully they realize that our department's going to do what's right, do the best that we can, and treat others with dignity and respect. And those are the three platforms that I will bring to Champaign. That's what I live by. And if our people can't live by those, you know, we have some issues there. But if we're doing things right and we treat people with dignity and respect and we're doing the best way we can, we'll be okay. I think the community will start seeing that we're doing the right thing. And I think it's important for us to get that, I call it marketing, get that back out into the community, let them know that we're serious about making sure we work together as in this community and not against each other. It doesn't work that way.
Thank you. What should be the standard criteria for the use of force policy? And what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
It's important for us to have continuous use of force training. It's critical for us to go over the policies and procedures, review the policy procedures every year, making sure we cover everything, and our officers and our staff understand what they can and cannot do in that use of force policy. It's funny. In my use of force, we go through use of force training three times a year up in East Lansing. One time a year, we sit in the room and we have to read the policy and procedure out loud. So I feel like I'm in fourth grade, but we got to read a book out loud. But we all have to read certain paragraphs until we get through the whole policy. It's like a 12-page document that we do, but we knew it and we learn it. But we feel it's very confident. We have tasers in East Lansing. We deploy them in a proper manner. Because our use of force instructors are the best, we think, in Michigan. They do a wonderful job of getting us trained, telling us how we need where our issues are, and telling us what our parameters and when we can and cannot use a particular use of force. And it's been a wonderful issue. So at the proper training, strong guidelines that everyone understands, and consistent message that we will use what's necessary to affect the arrest or things like that.
Thank you. At this time, we would like to invite you to provide us with 2 minutes of closing remarks.
Thank you.
Sure.
Just once again, thank you. Thank you for the council member and city manager for inviting me down to participate in this last group of candidates. I just want to say that for the city manager and for the council to have this open forum for the community, council and the city manager, Mr. Carter, they are concerned about this community. The four candidates up here that you saw today, we're concerned about the community, because if we weren't concerned, we'll be back home, you know, watching TV or watching the basketball game on TV, whatever, tonight. So the four candidates are concerned about the community. They want to make a difference whoever gets here. So I think that's important, seeing the people in the room and the people on TV who gets to watch this thing for, like, next 2 weeks. They are concerned because they want to make sure that the next chief is going to be a part of the community and make sure that the police department is part of the community, and that will be the job and responsibility of the police chief. And I feel that's important, and I have that those qualities. I think I can not necessarily rally the troops, but we can work together and just work together and make sure we are part of the community just like anybody else. I feel a little disappointed when the police think they're separate from the planning department or somewhere else, the DPW department, and that's that doesn't work in my book. We all work for the city, and it's important for us to start thinking about that, and that would be my role, and that's the chief's role.
And that is East Lansing, Michigan Police Captain Kim Johnson. He's one of four finalists for the job of Chief of Police for the city of Champaign. And you've been listening to a pre-recorded forum with those four finalists. This took place on December 8th. The city says one of these candidates will likely be offered the job after the start of the new year and will begin work in February or March. To hear more from each of the candidates and to read their resumes, you can visit our website. That is WILL.illinois.edu.